This is the theme song, the theme song for the handsome hour. I'm singing this off the cuff. Keep it on the tape forever.
Ah, welcome to the Handsome
I don't know
Hour.
What that was.
I don't know either, but it's sort of like Purdue's coaching staff. Nobody really knows what's happening, but
right.
But it sounds kind of great.
Let me listen to the tape, and I'll be able to tell you where I messed up.
No, we're 12 seconds in, and we're already salty. That's Boiler Dowd or Ryan. You've heard there. The Swami is also on.
Hello.
Today, and I'm Jay. We would invite Michael, but really, we save Michael. We keep him in a closet until basketball season.
Break in case of emergency.
Exactly. Well, we'll bring him out when we need him, because actually the truth is he's pretty fiery when it comes to this stuff. He gets going, man.
He gets going.
Yeah, and it would just be too many angry voices yelling. It'd be kind of like 12 Angry Men. Remember that? Like
he was mad today, just to give all the listeners out there a little peek to the inside workings.
The hallways of
Boiled Sports. He was mad today because Joe Tiller wasn't good enough for you.
That's not fair. That's not fair. Totally fair. I'm gonna have his back here.
He later did say.
Just publish the transcript. It was ridiculous.
He later did say, I realize I'm being too hard on Joe Tiller. He did
but
say that.
So he said, why are we treating Joe Tiller like he's this like godsend, when in reality he was a very above average coach and a guy that got Purdue, you know, out of the doldrums almost.
Are we ignoring the prism we're looking for?
Exactly. Yes.
You can't ignore the where we're coming from.
What are we talking about again? I'm sorry.
It's Purdue University, right? Our history isn't great. I don't know if you guys know that.
Yeah, but rather than talk about a coach that Anish already ran out of town.
Which one?
Get more specific. No, we should talk a little bit about Daryl Hazel and I don't know. You know what? Is it over? Is it the end of the era? I think we kind of talked amongst ourselves that it wasn't quite time to necessarily call the time of death. But I think in the write-up post game the other day, you wrote it well when you said that this is the beginning of the end, right? There's no real coming back from this, because what would have to happen? There's nothing we've seen that could make you possibly think
whether
things are going to turn around.
Whether it's a year from now, like whether he even lasts next year, or you know somehow he does enough this year to warrant another year, or whether he, whether it's done before the end of the year, or whether Babinski waits until January 2nd. When the buyout goes down, it doesn't matter. I mean, like it's pretty much done. I wonder
how that works with the buyout, because
if
everybody
coach.
Knows you're yeah. fired, right? Yeah. And I would think there'd be no reason not to be transparent at that point. You know, we've started a search committee. You can stick around and be a librarian, you know, but you're not coaching football anymore. You know, and we're not going to make it official until January 2.
Well, so that's the interesting thing, right, is that most hires are made by the first week of December, right? Or
right.
like maybe the
right.
first to second week of December is kind of late.
Mm-hmm. I hear the clock striking 12 under.
Yeah, okay, that's sorry. Right. But I don't know how does that work? If you were to get rid of the guy, do you wait? Like, do you do it, hire a new guy and wait until the bells ring in the background?
There's no way they would do that. For some reason, I'm glad you brought that up, because that's always been a thing that's bugged me, right? Like, if you went to, if let's say Purdue is 1-9 with, 2 weeks left, right? And Purdue is clearly going to fire him. They just were figuring, well, screw it. You just wait till the season's over or the buyout goes down. And a guy was asked, like a good candidate was asked by the press or anyone, or even by the AD, I feel like they'd say, well, that job's not available yet, right? That's always the line. Maybe that's not what goes on behind the scenes, but that stuff drives me nuts. Why does it matter? Why are you being loyal to the coaching fraternity? Why wouldn't you say, if that job became open, yes, I would be interested in it. What's wrong with that? I feel like sometimes we live in a, like, we're more realistic, or we live in, like, a reality-based, like, why can't you just do that? Why can't you shop around? I've never understood that because the guy hasn't, the dead man walking hasn't been fired yet? I don't understand.
I mean, it doesn't happen,
and maybe we just don't know.
I think it does. You just have to say that. Yeah.
Yeah, you have your people talk to their people.
Yeah, I mean, you should apply. You applied for athletic director, right? So you should apply.
I'm pretty sure I couldn't be a worse head football coach, and I don't think that that's...
I'm positive you couldn't.
I'm not even saying that facetiously anymore.
No.
I've been saying it to you guys on our offline threads, but you would agree, right, that it's not even just that he's a bad coach, right? It's the not a single thing is... The only thing that's gone right was the Nebraska game, right? That's the only thing you could argue that went better than expected.
But didn't they kind of try to throw that away?
They
too?
Did.
I mean, that's the thing.
They almost blew it, but they put up 55 points. It's hard to lose when you put up 55. Right. But I'm just saying that usually you fall backwards into a couple wins. You play so many shitty teams over the course of 4 years that 2, 3, 4 wins that just should be gimmies.
Was the Cincinnati game that bad? Was the Cincinnati game bad enough, or was it just another loss?
I don't know why you guys got all mad and why everybody else got all mad when no one predicted a win. No one thought it was going to be a win.
So that's my question. What changed? Because something changed in me, but I don't know why.
I'll tell you what I think it was. You're becoming a woman.
I know.
It's a beautiful time. Something changed in me. Well, you see, Anish. Happens.
I have this tingling sensation. I'm gonna hold on to it right now.
You're gonna hold on to it right now.
Yeah,
nicely done. There's nothing you can say now. You should probably just stop. I'll tell you what happened. I think that there was that tiny bit that was hoping that something different would happen after a win, right? After the first week. But there was a part of you that knew it wasn't likely to change. And then they came out and it was more of the same. It was more of what you've seen every game with him, right? Just ineptitude and bad decisions and I mean just silly weak decisions, the not going for stuff on what was it? Didn't they punt once in 4th and 2 from like the Cincy 30 something? Maybe you've tuned it out by then, but I think it was in the first half.
I don't remember
still.
That, but there are a lot of things I don't remember
that you blocked out. Yeah. I just think that's what made it switch for everybody is the non-competitive nature, right? That game never felt Questionably, in doubt that Cincinnati was going to win.
Massive run. It didn't. The game wasn't in doubt for Cincinnati. No. You look over at Tuberville. He's just like, well, guess we have to run that one quarterback play where that automatic score because these guys can't tackle.
Why don't we just intercept them again? Why don't we just do that? Oh, good call.
I liked your Tuberville impersonation. It was good. It was good.
I have a lot of range.
He's probably another guy. He's probably another guy that you're doing an impression of that you've never actually heard speak, right?
Yeah, I don't know what I know that he's a jerk and he's got a southern accent.
My favorite is your Mike Bray. You'd never heard him speak, and you said what you thought he sounded like.
Hey, you guys, hey, get over
a little
here.
Like Cartman.
Yeah, and he's got a northeast accent.
Yeah, I don't know. It fits though. I agree. It's what he looks like.
That's the thing.
So
my Dick Bennett. Impersonation, it's Liberace. I don't think Dick Bennett sounds that way. Dick Bennett Sr. Guys, we need to run the offense. It's because the mock turtleneck, see? Get over here, fellas. We ran through this in practice all week. I don't think he sounds that way. I'm pretty sure. No, I don't think so.
That actually brings me back to a long time ago when Zook was the coach of Illinois and we got on the Handsome Hour and you were talking about how crazy he looks at all times and you're like, he always looks like he's, you said something like his cap's askew and he looks like he's going to eat somebody. Like he looks super crazy. And then as you got through your rant, you said, and on the off chance you're listening, Coach Zook, I'm very sorry. I'm afraid you beat me to death with your shoe.
He's terrifying. He and crazy. Hope are both terrifying. Seriously.
Well, yeah, Hope just, as I've said before, when he shakes, I shook his hand and it felt like what you'd expect. It felt like a steel worker or like a mason.
Exactly.
Do you think Danny Hope could bench more or less than our linebackers right now?
Probably more.
I would say there are two linebackers that could bench more. How about that?
All right. That's fair.
All right, we're getting away from the topic at hand. So one of the things we did, one of the things Anish did was a lot of work when he should have been doing his real job. Right? I think that's fair to say.
Well, so this
You were
list...
doing your job while you were doing this.
Yeah, exactly.
So you compiled a list. I'll let you take it from there.
So I keep lists for every Purdue coach, or the Purdue coach and the football coach and the basketball coach, and I've done that. This
You're
list...
on notice, coaches, and he has a list.
This list of alternates of potential Purdue coaches actually started in, like towards the end of 2013 when it was getting pretty miserable to watch Purdue. And it kind of grew after this loss because it was just like, screw it. But we have, and we'll post a lot of this later. I don't think in print form, it's time to do that just quite yet.
Not yet.
But
he can turn things around, guys.
Yeah, exactly. He's still got a chance.
And then won't we look foolish?
Yeah. We look so dumb when they go to the Motor City Bowl. Cause so that's the dream scenario right now, right?
That is my God. I would be no. The dream scenario is 5 wins. There's no dream scenario where we get 6 wins. Are you insane? So I put together a list of
A Nebraska bowl appearance, maybe a 5-7.
Oh, 5-7 would have gone.
Yeah, there you go.
Maybe they're going. Is that the Pinstripe Bowl? What was that?
You have a lot of people on this list,
and it's just people who will probably be looking for looking for a new job at the end of the year. Some people might, some people not. It's
you
kind
think
of
Chris
iffy.
Ash Chris no. Ash at Rutgers could already be fired.
No. I think Chris Ash could be offered a bigger job. Like I think Chris Ash is really good.
Big Ten, baby.
Same with Mark Rhule. So like
Tedford, like 70 years old.
Yes. So there are people on here that are old. There are people on here that are way too young.
I put Tedford on my last list, and the only reason I know that because I was like, he's that old?
Yeah.
I was shocked.
But yeah, Tedford isn't, Tedford isn't a real one. But a lot of these are just people who would come up in a normal search firm like list. So I expect $400,000 from the Purdue Athletic Department for this Excel sheet.
I see Terry Bowden. I don't see Bobby Bowden. I'm trying to figure out why.
I'm sorry, who? So a lot
Travis
of these...
just told me that Bobby Bowden would be a good candidate for
Oh, sweet mother of anyway. I have no comment.
That was awesome, by the way. Thanks for doing what you did the other day on the Twitter phone.
So, yeah, speaking of that, on one list is semi-realistic. And even some of the semi-realistic people like Doc Holliday or Cliff Kingsbury or Kevin Sumlin,
Kingsbury is impossible.
Exactly,
impossible.
You can only
That's
see
what I
it.
Said to him today.
You can only see it in like a bizarro universe. So like it, I'm just saying, in a universe, there could be a way that some of these people could get to Purdue within their budget. There's also a list of people that probably will be unemployed or there will be looking to take a step up. So an example
Chuck
of the people
Pagano.
To take a step
Chuck
up.
Pagano.
So yeah. So actually in the example of people who could
pictures.
Be fired, Les Miles is who we were talking about on the Boiled Sports email thread.
Oh, daddy.
But there's no chance that he's coming to Purdue. From like looking for a step up is Matt Rhule, the Temple head coach, who I think he could have a Big Ten, like a high level Big Ten job anytime he wants.
Are you thinking Mike Stoops like I am?
Mike Stoops is in the bottom of my third tier, below Brock Speck. I would rather have Brock Speck.
Oh, how could you even put those two in the same? Stoops has been an abject failure. It's
anyway,
not bueno.
Anyway,
not bueno.
But
why do you hate Brock Speck in America so much?
There is a segment of Purdue fan that would like. There's a segment of Purdue fan that
Herman?
Is so yeah Tom Herman.
How about Mark Herman?
Steve Herman? Is there a Steve Herman?
How about
is there
Steve?
A Jim Herman? I mean Herman didn't even make my won't come list. Like Charlie Strong is on my list of coaches that might be looking for a new job that aren't coming to Purdue. I didn't even think to put Tom Herman on this list because that is such an asinine suggestion.
On the left side, about mm-hmm. 8 rows down,
yeah.
I want Mike Babinski to hire Mike Bobo just for the synergy of it all.
Dude, that's a good. That would be a great coach.
So
Mike
Bobo.
Bobo. Gosh, great. Mike Bobo and Mike Bobo. It's phenomenal.
So Mike Bobo used to be Georgia's offensive coordinator.
I know. And, I remember playing quarterback there.
Yeah, and he went to Colorado State, which is where most SEC. That's well. That's where all most assistants from the SEC go to bid their time to get their head coaching experience, so that they can go back and be a head coach in the SEC. It's where Jim McElwain was from. But I there's the established on the second, you know, on the second nine, like kind of coaches that maybe outstayed their welcome at one point, maybe are at a point where they want to move to their last
job. That's my favorite
group. There's that group. And there's the young, up-and-coming, first couple year guys or guys at their second stop maybe that are looking for an upgrade. And they, I mean, it kind of fits neatly within those two groups. And there's a reflex to go the opposite of Daryl Hazel, to look for an established guy. But do you think that was the issue? Like, who do you think we could have hired somebody in 2012? Because I'm starting to think that it would have taken an extraordinary coach. Not that Daryl Hazel is any like good. It seems like Daryl Hazel is not a good football coach at this level. But I don't think anybody except an extraordinary coach would have succeeded at Purdue in 2012. I think it was a complete misdiagnosis of the problem.
I think if they would have hired, and I don't know how to pronounce his last name, Kiniumatolo, the Navy.
Oh, Niumatolo. Yeah.
I don't know if they ever even thought about it. I think he could have had success because the system's novel. He's very organized. He's had success.
It almost doesn't matter what kind of athletes you have.
Right. That's my point. I think he would have done quite well. I think you could have maybe even seen 6 wins first season. But the problem with all this, like you and I had the conversation off the air, is they still would have had to have been okay working with Burke. And that was,
I mean,
that wasn't going anywhere.
They would have had to work with Burke. They would have had to been a third tier program recruiting in the Midwest. They would have had to be recruiting in a weight room where not the entire team could be lifting at the same time. And at that point, the athletic department, the administrators, didn't know that that was a problem. They didn't know that was an issue. I mean, like, they tore down the south end zone before Drew Brees said, maybe we should build a gym where everybody can work out at once. And maybe we should hold off on the south end zone plays. I mean, that's what I was trying to say earlier today, which was that I think we could have brought in Dave Doran. I think we could have brought in Sonny Dykes. I think we could have brought in Mike Riley. I think all of them would have. I think Cliff Kingsbury might have been.
I think
one
Dykes. Dykes is another one I think would have had success because he would have more.
Yeah.
Maybe not a ton, but they would have thrown the ball around. He would have won a couple games. Because
it's hard
that.
To go 1-11. They were
really
they were
hard.
But that's the thing. I don't know. I think it would have taken an extraordinary coach to get to be, I mean, like the way even I was watching the introductory press conference for Daryl Hazel today, and it was, you know, just in the within the first couple minutes, Morgan Burke says that we're looking for somebody to build on what the Purdue program is, and that was in 2012 when it was already evident that the last 2 years of Joe Tiller and pretty much all 4 years of Danny Hope were built on sand. And when you build on a sand foundation, it might, whatever.
Let me just throw this out there. You even talked about how Ryan Kerrigan was one of your favorite athlete at Purdue, right? There were some NFL, there was NFL talent even on those years you're talking about, which means that
happened?
It wasn't bereft of talent. Well, what I'm saying as a counterpoint is maybe those Hope years, and I think this is what we all landed on when he was here, because we were ready to run him out of town after several 6-win seasons, right? Which now sounds like a pipe dream, because we all felt like the talent. I remember saying this: talent is there to be better than Motor City Bowls. And
I mean,
were we misdiagnosing the talent?
No, it's not the talent. That's the thing. I think we could have had all the talent, all the Purdue-level talent in the world, and I don't think any coach would have gotten
That's what I don't understand, then. If they had talent, why do you think no coach could have made a difference? That's what I don't agree with.
Well, it's not no – I think it was like – or so – we're making the assumption that Danny Hope is the head coach. We're not going to touch that problem yet. Under like after Danny Hope, there needed to be, in addition to the $2 million that was poured into Daryl Hazel's salary, there needed to be an acknowledgement, whether it's behind the scenes or what, like to the media, to the fans or whatever, that this, our program is off the rails. This is not Purdue football. That was not what Joe Tiller built Purdue football to. A complete rebuild, a complete reinvestment in, and we praise, this is what we're supposed to praise Morgan Burke about, a complete reinvestment in the football infrastructure, a complete revamping of the way Purdue approached its football program was needed. And instead, we brought in a guy who was run first, even though he talked about on that first day Purdue having this tradition of passing the ball. There's something in the water in West Lafayette that has to do with the passing game, right? He was a run first coach with John Shoup until the what seems to be the only good hire outside maybe Marcus Freeman that Daryl Hazel made. It looks like this offensive coordinator this year, like the play calling seems fine. The play calling seems to make sense. There is a balance. I don't think this is trestle ball this year. And no. That's the problem, though. It comes 7 years too late. And the fact is that
even 2 years too late. That's the thing. I think Hazel would have saved his job if you had done this 2 years ago,
I think
when he hired him.
It's baffling to me. And to me, the biggest thing was a complete misdiagnosis of the problem. Oh, all we have to do is write a bigger paycheck and bring in a guy who actually has a track record, a little track record of success, as opposed to Danny Hope, who didn't really have anything. I don't know. I think that in 2012 it was such a flawed hiring process.
But I also think I'll always point back to the fact that none of us had a. We all lauded the hire. We thought it was good. We thought the process was good. And I think no, you don't think so?
Oh no, we did. But I'm
saying I think it's hard to. But what I think maybe the misstep happened was they definitely talked to Butch Jones.
Yeah.
We don't know who else they actively spoke to or pursued. So I think they got to a point pretty quickly.
They didn't talk to Chris this time around, right? Because he was just...
No, they didn't. They didn't talk to Chris.
You get to a point pretty... They might have talked to Doran. They might have reached out to Doran.
No, so the people that were confirmed, I know that Dykes was confirmed, and he said no. I think Dykes was Purdue's first call, and Dykes said no. But he also said no to like a whole bunch of other programs. I think he's being pretty selective.
I just think at some point you say, you know what, we have to make a good hire here, and we've been turned down a little bit. So we can't make it seem like we're down to our fifth choice. So let's offer a lot of money to a guy who's pretty hot right now.
But they did that without any other move. They did that without any other move. They did that without saying that, you know, the practice facility needed to be changed. They did that without saying, you know, the recruiting philosophy needs to change. They did, you know, it.
Yeah.
And at the time. I know you guys were talking about this. I was talking about this to my friends. I was on campus at the time. That if there is one thing kind of worrying about Hazel, it's that he seems to play like he has five-star athletes. That's why I think maybe he would have succeeded at a place like Wisconsin, where there is investment in football, where there is investment, in a clear recruiting philosophy.
He would have to have fantastic coordinators, because it seems to me that he's so bullheaded that he can't make adjustments, right? Doesn't that seem that way, or am I?
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's a huge deal, right? And boy, we just have no reason to believe that he knows how to do that. There's no sign of it. There's no proof of it at all. And there's no doubt. I think if you put him, like you said, Wisconsin or Ohio State, he'd do better. But honestly, you get my daughter's toy dolls, and they could probably win at Ohio State.
To me, it goes back to Danny Hope being everybody's second choice, right? They approached Joe Tiller, and they said, it's time for you to go. And Joe said, can I have what's his face? Can I have Brock's back? And Morgan Burke said no. And he probably pushed back. And Morgan Burke said, no, you can't have your first choice. And then he said, okay. And then Tiller said, okay, how about Danny Hope? And then Morgan Burke kind of looked and said, fine. So in the end...
The interesting thing about Hope is that I do know this too. There was a football alum committee that Burke talked to before okaying Hope.
Mm-hmm.
And they were all like, yeah, this is a great guy. I mean, he's run through a brick wall, that whole thing.
But like anybody that has ever met Danny Hope would run through a brick wall for him. That doesn't mean that, you know,
right.
he's a right guy to succeed Joe Tiller, right? And I don't know. I think Danny Hope was everybody's second choice, and that's where this went wrong. It was just the approach, and it was the fact that no football investment had been made after Kyle Orton. No football investment had been made after Drew Brees.
Like, those years they were drawing 55,000-60,000 people to the stadium, that's true. You shouldn't say that. They made an investment in the press box.
No, that was before, really, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was luxury before 2000.
Well, I'm just saying, joke is, though, that wasn't in the program. Now.
That's the funny thing, is that that's a pretty old...
but none of that was to benefit the program. That was to benefit boosters and viewers.
And so now we're taking slow steps, right? We're taking slow steps. We're investing in the right things very slowly.
But people talk about that like they're taking the right steps. I feel like these are bare minimum steps.
Yeah, absolutely. After we're in the doldrums. Yeah, this is what it took.
The bottom, and now we gotta spend some money on the program, or it's... Like, whatever you had from 2000 or 99 through 04, that has been fully wrung out. Mm. Like, there's nothing more you can wring out of this program. You can't talk about exciting football. You can't talk about anything. They haven't been ranked. They've been in the rankings in almost a decade.
I mean, you want to play this game. the high school students that are being taught right now are being taught, like, in the classroom, these high school students that are being recruited, they're being taught about September 11th as a historical event.
Yeah.
All of Purdue's success happened before that. I mean, like, Purdue's peak was now truly historical record. And there's no getting past that. The Kyle Orton years, the fumble, only football nerds and Purdue fans remember, right? Purdue wasn't, I mean, like, maybe after...
They went to a January 1 bowl, I mean, with Orton, though.
Fine,
I mean,
they were respectable.
That's 9 wins. That's decent.
But that's not Drew Brees.
It's not Drew Brees. It's not iconic.
This program, the best player in the history of this program is still playing in the NFL right now. What are we doing? Like, how are we capitalizing on that? The best player in the history of this program is an active player. He is still one of the best quarterbacks in the league.
He comes back and he leads. You
talking about Leroy Keyes?
About Leroy Keyes. That was a joke when we went there. Because I thought Leroy Keyes just, like, lived under the field. And he was brought up.
He was always there.
Every halftime, Leroy Keyes was presenting someone something.
Yeah.
What stuns me.
They named a meal after Drew at... Triple X.
They did.
And he leads shout like once a year. What more do you want? Yeah, and $1 million every now and then.
Oh, no. Breeze gives it
while the iron's hot.
But
Breeze wants to do more. He gives so much money, and he loves Purdue.
He loves it.
And Purdue does nothing to capitalize on it.
And we're like, yeah, we're good. We're fine.
Yeah.
You see the pictures of his kids playing in the standing water in his driveway? Yes. That was awesome.
Yeah. That was his... Goodness. I don't know, and to me, it's like, if it's not like this program is that, like, this program's successes are so long ago that it's, you know, some historical, it's University of Chicago, right?
Right.
Like, we're talking about a guy that's still, like, you know, at the tail end of the peak of his powers in the NFL right now. And so it's just simple things like that. There's a practice, the athletic center was the Drew Brees center, but, like, can you imagine, like, Drake in a Kentucky warm-up, right? But, like, it's like, Drew Brees is a square. I know that. But, like, we have players in the NFL right now that are
like
awesome.
Like Neil.
Brian Kerrigan is one of the best defensive players, and as a program, we don't promote ourselves at all. And at this point, if we promote ourselves being the bottom of the barrel in the FBS, it'll backfire.
It's a hook.
So we've waited so long that it's complete, that even investment now is completely ineffective, you know? So we got to win with the players we have.
Now let's look ahead just for a minute, okay? Let me ask you guys a question. See what your thought is on this. Does the next coach need to have some name recognition or have some sort of sexiness about him? And I'll give you an example. Like you've got Doug Meacham on the list. I don't know Doug Meacham.
Okay? Doug Meacham is TCU's co-offensive coordinator.
Right, right. Okay. I don't know that guy. And I like TCU, but I don't know Doug Meacham. Or if you hired some, I'm just saying somebody that doesn't have much sizzle to him, is that a mistake? Is that not taking advantage of the situation? Because I think one of the things you're talking about is the opportunities that are missed over and over and over. One of the best opportunities to hype your program, to get the word out, is during that hiring process, right? So should Purdue go for someone that has either some charisma behind them, some name, some, like you talked about, gimmicky football earlier today, something like that? Is that that important, or is it more important just to get Brock Speck in the door and get him refitted for his black and gold?
I don't mind saying I would be so uninspired if Brock Speck was brought in, because to me,
you'll be inspired when you get 6 wins that next year.
No, because that's what you're making the peak goal. You're saying we'd love to win 6 or 7 games again. That would be so wonderful.
It would be. I got to tell you, that would be wonderful for me, because right now, gosh, I don't even care. I mean,
I think the next...
When I'm yelling at the screen at how bad they tackle. I mean,
I think the
holy
next...
Holy shit, they can't tackle.
I think the next coach is a sacrificial lamb. That's where we are.
Has he followed a legend?
Because there's nothing to build on. I mean, like, unless it's a guy that can complete... Unless...
That's Brock Speck's job, is what you're saying.
Yeah. Oh, if Brock Speck comes in as the sacrificial lamb for 2 years and is cut, but makes some progress... You know, gets us to 4 or 5 wins, and then we fire him and move on to the next guy. But I don't know if that'll happen.
Be so pissed when we're high-fiving in Indianapolis at the Big Ten Championship.
We're all wearing mustaches.
Yeah, we all have mustaches. Exactly.
I mean, personally, the way that I would go is hire an old guy. Do whatever you can to get Doc Holliday out of Marshall. You know, do whatever you can to get. I mean, like, we joke about this, but Chuck Pagano is not looking too good with our Colts. Justin is a little more in on this, but like Greg Schiano, I think you talked me into this, Jay. I think Greg Schiano. I don't know. Maybe
he's. I'd love that.
I think you kind of talked me into this. I think Ed Orgeron is another one. I think he could be somebody. So,
see, that to me, that's not a very sexy hire right there.
Orgeron?
I'd have Schiano more before.
I think. Oh yeah, I do, and I think Schiano would be a very interesting one.
What type of? Gosh, he made a bad deal with the devil, didn't he? I mean, the guy was absolutely the top 3 hottest names and coaches.
Schiano?
Yeah.
Yeah, and then he went, he ended up, flaming out spectacularly. Yeah, in Tampa Bay, and then
so
all of a
fast.
Sudden, he was radioactive at that point. Like, I don't know
That's
why.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, you've seen guys, you know, do poorly, and then like 2 years later, they're getting another look someplace else in the NFL. I know that's generally an old, you know, the old fraternity, guys who have come up through the ranks, but man, I mean, he fizzled fast. And
yeah, I mean, I, you know, Greg Schiano would be an interesting one. It's not my favorite hire, but I mean, like, though, of those kind of guys, like Doc Holliday is the dream. You bring the offensive, you know, you bring the offensive mind. His offensive coordinator, Bill Legg, is a Purdue guy. You bring his whole staff, you bring an actual system, you bring a mindset, you bring a little bit of excitement, and there's no way it happens. There is zero, absolutely no way it happens.
I've made a couple edits to the list put some things on there that'll make it a little easier for everybody to make their decision who's at top.
Is it just Brock Speck's name all over? Brock Speck, Brock Speck, Brock Speck, Brock Speck. First candidate, Brock Speck. Second candidate, Brock Speck. Third candidate, Brock Speck.
I think Speck is a – I think he's a very easy answer. He's an easy solution
who
to
gets,
the problem.
Who gets excited?
Brock Speck does.
Does he? Does he, though? He gets a job 7 years, 8 years after he was trying to get the job. Is he excited? Or does he walk up to the microphone and say, well, you lie in the bed, like lie in the bed you made?
I think he would be a very solid hire. I really do. And I think he would. I think the interesting thing about SPAC is I know that there are people out there like you that he must have stolen something from, or you know, he took your girlfriend. I don't know what happened. I don't know why you guys hate Brock Speck.
He's really uninspiring. Uninspiring. And he plays defensive football at a lower level. And that how
I would
often
like offensive
does that,
football.
I would but like oh, there's plenty of offensive football being played.
Hey-o.
Nice job.
I mean, I have a dream candidate that we haven't talked about yet, or like not dream candidate.
Pelini's
like,
your dream candidate,
Kevin
right?
Sumlin.
Still, Pelini's still your guy.
Sumlin, I would enjoy Pelini in that same mold of just bring in an old dude that has succeeded at a program before, and is looking to rebuild his rebuild his reputation and step up to a school that'll pay him more. And
who's
Bo Pelini's.
Who's your dream candidate?
Well, man, it's
going
to
be taken.
Jeff Brohm. I want Jeff Brohm.
From
I want
West
Jeff
Kentucky,
Brohm yeah. from Western Kentucky. I think he's a good one. I think
I thought you liked Stitt a lot, too.
I like Bob Stitt a lot. I think if we're taking a swing, Bob Stitt or Link Riley, I think they would both be good candidates. Link Riley is the
Link
offensive
Darner?
Coordinator. No, thank you. How about just paying Matt Painter double and seeing what he can do with the football program?
He could probably do similar to what he does at basketball.
Hazel doesn't recruit during the year anyway, so.
Man.
I mean, like.
Killer. Everything was fine. Towards the end, everything was fine.
Well, you know,
I think Jeff Brohm is the perfect mix of an experienced guy. And
he's pretty young, though, isn't he?
He's like in his 40s, yeah.
Yeah.
And he's on his first real stop. Mm-hmm. Bob Stitt brings, offense. Bob Stitt was rumored for Penn State's offensive coordinator this year. And, I mean, so, he's already getting those kind of calls. Just offer him a Big Ten head coaching job and see what he can do.
I think if you go that defensive way, boy, Bud Foster is tasty. But it seems like there was some weird – yeah, reason.
It's just there are things that people don't like about Bud Foster. If Babinski could get past that, I wouldn't mind Bud Foster one bit. I think Bud Foster would be a really good one. I want the Colts to just send Chuck Pagano to West Lafayette so that we could kill two birds with one stone here.
Boy, you talk about uninspiring. That guy, man, he kills me. There are very few people that do less with more that he's been given than that guy.
I'll trust him to recruit. I don't care.
I think that he's relational. That's right. Guys love him. So
he'd be a hell of a coach at the U. But
yeah.
But so there it. That's the thing. Do you want to
like
go
a Boy Scout though? Doesn't he?
Yeah, a little bit. That's why maybe not the U. Send him to Purdue. That's why, there are those older candidates like Doc Holliday, Bo Pelini, Greg Schiano, Bud Foster, Ed Orgeron, these guys who have been around for a while, have built programs and are not heading up big programs for one reason or another.
The problem, I think, with guys like that is the coaching fraternity is small and talks, and guys who are that experienced in one way or the other are not interested in coming to a toxic job like Purdue. I think you need a young guy who wants to prove himself.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I think it's that time. You find. I would rather bring somebody that has done it before. And I don't know. I don't know. It's just such a awful place to be in as a program, right? Because we're, probably let Tiller go 1 year. Like we shouldn't have done the Purdue shouldn't have done the year in waiting. That was a mistake. the Hope hire was a mistake. And then the I think I don't know I don't want to call the Hazel hire a mistake because we all thought it was a good hire at the time, but I think it was a complete misdiagnosis of the problem. And it's only now, 10 years later, 10 years after we should have identified the problem, that, you know, that we're addressing it. And this is a this is an awful position to be in because I don't think even the next coach will succeed. You know, succeed meaning get to a bowl game, get to bowl games consistently. I think we're that far away.
Man, I think you're putting way too much weight into ancillary things. And I just think he's really not good. And I think it could have gone much differently, much better if they would have made the right hire. I don't think the structure matters that much. Don't get me wrong, it matters. I just don't think it matters as much as you've put the weight.
I think either in 07 or 08, you go one of two ways. You either give Joe Tiller some input, any input. You want to have input, you can pick your guy. Or you say, Joe, thank you for everything you've done for the program. We will build you a statue one, like 15 years down the road when we can cobble up the money from under the seat cushions. But this is our program, and I totally agree.
I've never understood giving input to outgoing old men coaches.
But here's like the thing. Maybe SPAC would have gone better than Hope. Maybe SPAC at the time would have been a better hire than Danny Hope because in his mind, Joe Tiller knew that he picked him. You know, Joe Tiller knew that this was his hand-picked guy. He would have, I don't know. I mean, like, maybe just the mentality around the program would have been better. But you go one way or another. You pick one direction or another. Danny Hope was the perfect example of trying to have your cake and eat it too. Mm-hmm. And now we're paying for it. And I think it would have taken somebody like unbelievable. Now Daryl Hazel has been a disaster. And I don't want to sound like I'm defending him too much here, but I struggle to think of somebody.
You know, what's also interesting. I looked at some of the other stuff that you pulled together. And again, everyone, we will post more about this, but you pulled together some interesting stats on the guys we had kicked around as candidates that you know, turned out to be on their list, obviously. And it's really interesting to look at their records since then. Very few of them are any good.
or very few of them are winning. So if you look at Sonny Dykes, he's at 15-24.
Well, because he went 1-11 in his first year, just like Hazel did. But see, you know, it's interesting you bring that up because let's say that you were let's say they did get Sonny Dykes. They went 1-11 their first year, so that's the same. But just like imagine if this was the trajectory, 1-11, 5-7. Then last year they were 8-5.
We would be doing
backflips. He's probably going to get run out of California if he doesn't improve significantly, and they just lost their second game. So
no, I think he's safe. I think Dave Doran needs a signature win. I think he's been solid. He took him immediately. Like he had a bad. I think he had a 3-win season, and then he went right to 7. Right to 8, and then 7.
My number one, by the way. Just
yeah. So Dave Doran, for the reference,
I thought Sonny Dykes was your number one.
He was my number two.
I think the consensus candidate between you guys was Sonny Dykes.
Yeah.
I think your number one was Kyle Flood at the time. And then Sonny Dykes, you guys both loved, and then Dowdy, yours was Doran. You know, one that you put on your list that could still be a candidate, I think Willie Taggart's an interesting one.
He
was in a poisonous situation at the old administration in Western Kentucky. Mm-hmm. He went down to USF, had a bad year, but you know, has rebuilt that to semi respectability. They went to a decent bowl game last year.
So I will give you, just to close the loop on Sonny Dykes, I will give either of you, don't cheat, don't go Googling this,
okay.
You ready for your trivia? I'll give you a $20 bill, crisp $20 bill, if you can tell me what position Sonny Dykes played at Texas Tech.
Kicker.
I thought he was a quarterback, wasn't he?
No, you're both wrong. He was a first baseman. He played baseball for Texas Tech. He did not play football.
That's like Gene Katie. I was going to say, you know who else had success with that? Gene Katie. He was a baseball player.
But that's kind of amazing. He was a D1 baseball player and not a football player. It doesn't make any sense at all. He played until 93, and he was coaching football in high school in 94.
Hey, good for him, man.
But that's just weird.
It's a weird one.
Weird trajectory. And I'll give you one other weird thing about him just since I looked it up. He's not only the head coach, he's also, hold on, let me find it again. He is the head coach / outside wide receivers coach.
Huh. Weird. But he doesn't mess with those inside guys. No,
there's
a
separate guy who's the inside wide receivers coach. Like, I don't... You know what? Those slot guys, they're pussies. The head coach will deal with the outside players.
I mean, so right now, I think if we brought in Jeff Brohm, I think that would be my guy.
I think that'd be great. I think you'd have a lot of people happy with that hire. I mean,
he's, you know, Midwest connection. He's the typical Big Ten hire. That you make the guy in the Midwest that has had success in a program and is looking to take a step up, right?
Yeah.
If there's a way to sell people on Schiano, if there's a way to or sell the program to Schiano, because a couple years at Ohio State and you're getting bigger job offers, you know,
right.
Like is Ohio State's defensive coordinator a better job than the Purdue head coach?
Probably. He probably makes more. Oh no, maybe not. Maybe not Ohio State. But
I don't think that's a good one. I just would be totally against that.
Against Schiano?
No. I was half listening.
God, you
pulled me, to sleep.
You wanted holiday. You didn't like. No. You don't want holiday.
No. I was thinking of Fickell. Sorry, that was the. That's the.
Who's not on anyone's list?
No, that's like hiring Matt, putting Matt Painter on an extension. Because it's no one's competing. Sorry, I was reading and I can't do two things at one time. That's
you can barely read for that matter.
I cannot read. That's true.
So Dowd's candidate, Brock's back, right?
You'll see. It's not, but he's not even in my top five. Surprisingly, when I look at it,
he's not. In my
but
top
I would be
30,
I would be
yeah.
very happy if they hired him because I think he would do fine. How about that? Is that
fine? That's the goal. Just to do fine.
Listen, we haven't seen fine football
exactly.
in how many years.
What's wrong with that?
That's not the reason you don't aspire to be crappy because you've been below crappy for a while.
That's exactly what
thinking.
I'm doing.
That's just like the football facility. We want to be middle of the pack because we're
they'll
at
take,
the bottom.
They'll take a poll that are like, would you be likely to get season tickets if we hired Brock Spack? And I'd be like, I'll make you a deal. I will buy three tickets. Three tickets, and I will stay for dinner one of those games.
In the area, right. I will feed the local economy.
Exactly. How about that? And you know what? Purdue would be like, yep, that's the type of response we're looking for. That sounds great.
That sounds like a...
The trustees would be on board. They'd love that.
That reminds me of that preview that you liked so much, that every day should be Saturday, Anish.
Oh,
they
my
said
God.
Purdue shouldn't sell.
You should. They should sell all of the away anymore. Games.
They should only sell road packages like it's a lifeboat. We got room for two more. Come on.
The thing I learned about listening to that podcast was that we are not the only ones with real problems during our broadcast. That was incredible. In fact, the sound quality of what we're doing right now, other than my allergy voice, is
the fact that the one guy thought it was okay to go outside during.
Oh, it was amazing.
You guys should listen to it. Everybody needs to listen to that.
Oh man!
But like, so if
we're
is,
better, that's what I'm saying. We're better than that.
Okay, I'm gonna ask you both. I'm gonna ask you both sides of one question. So first, is there what has to happen for Babinski to fire Daryl Hazel mid-season
and
just hand it off.
Run across the field with his pants on his head and no underwear on. That's what he would have to do. I
or
don't
like
think
an
any...
external thing.
Yeah, I don't think he gets. I don't think he's going to fire. Well, okay. I think to you again. I'm borrowing this phrase from you, Anish, because you've been using it lately. I think there's a non-zero chance that he could fire Hazel. Instead of Fire Hazel during the season, I think it's possible, but I think it's highly, highly unlikely because I don't know what it gains you. You still have to pay your buyout. You have a season where whatever players he does have, you've lost, right? Like you don't see that.
I'll tell you what it gains you. I'll tell you what it gains you because I've thought about this question.
Some of the alums.
It gains the attention of the alums. That's it.
Yes. Yeah.
That's a big deal. I mean, they know that there are a lot of people out there like me right now that are just like, I don't care.
But you've pointed out before the way you treat a coach, the whole coaching fraternity thing, you've pointed out that when you're shitty to a coach, that gets around.
Now,
that's why
now, hold
it's
on
usually
a second. Hold on a second. Before we, this isn't Bill Mallory. This isn't Danny Hope.
This isn't Danny Hope.
This isn't Joe Tiller. This is a historically bad coach mediocre program.
So that's the thing.
They've just given him so much rope. You look at every media outlet is
and
like
a lot of money.
So that's what's stunning to me is all of a sudden GBI is being incredibly critical and just saying more of the same garbage. Mike Carmen is saying more of the same. Washburn, who isn't actually connected to West Lafayette media anymore, but Washburn's being critical of
that article I put on Facebook the other day from Carmen. I've never seen him go in like that on Purdue ever. And am I wrong? I mean, I've never seen him either. It was like an opinion column.
It's almost like what they get mad at us for doing, right?
Right.
And you got. But the other thing is that you guys got blocked for talking about. Danny Hope being fired like 6 games into the season in 2012. Well, but that's the thing is that there were there were two sides of that. There was a rational argument that I disagreed with, but it was a rational argument that could be put up for Danny Hope to be given another year. I get that. I thought that. I mean, like, I disagreed with it vehemently.
Oh, there were people who were arguing that. Absolutely.
And it was I thought it was it's a fair argument that I thought was incorrect.
Sure. Agreed.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
There is no reason for that argument with Daryl Hazel. There's nothing.
And what's interesting is you hear zero noise, right? You hear zero commenters saying. Come on, God. I think in the first year or two, there were people saying, "Oh, give him a chance. You know, give him a chance to get his system in there." Maybe
or
we
quit being so negative.
Right. But there's not much of that right now.
What do you do? We've seen 6 wins, 7 wins in 4 years, and 4 of them are over FCS opponents.
Yeah.
We've seen 3 FBS wins in 4 years.
3-31, baby.
And so at some point, it's just enough. Enough, we're done here. And I think that's why, this loss was the straw that broke right? This loss with Danny Etling, at least for a quarter, looking really good at LSU.
Well, but you're getting away from the question you asked.
Yeah.
Maybe it's my fault. Is there a scenario? So my answer is almost certainly no.
We don't. Do we know enough about Babinski to say no, though?
Oh, no. That's why I left the door open, because I think you made a point that he may be itching to put his mark on things and say, new sheriff in town.
That's an interesting one, because a lot of the talk out of Georgia Tech was that he would have had to get rid of Paul Johnson eventually. Right. And that's an ugly, ugly thing to do. Because he's an ordinary old man, and he, if he starts to lose control of that program, he's been at Georgia Tech forever. That's an ugly job that you have to do. I see the argument. I see the argument for it. I think something off the field would have to happen for them to fire him. Now, the other side of that is, do you guys think that there's any way? What's the path for an extra year?
I think if they win, four, he's definitely staying.
I'm hedging
four that. More or four total.
I think if he wins 3 more, 4 total. I think if they go 4-8, he stays.
I'm starting to think that's too few. Maybe it's just my gut.
It is to me, right? He said, what do you think? And I think that but again, I'm also biased or jaded or whatever, or having Stockholm syndrome because of the Burke era. That
would
have kept him around, because I don't want to pay a buyout. I think that's what it all comes down to, that buyout. I really think that's the entire. If there was no buyout there, he might be fired right now. He might have been fired in the last season. And I understand that's why those are in place, to protect the coach. But, man, I just – that's why I have such a hard time with these ideas of bringing in guys like Kevin Sumlin, who makes $5 million. You know, you're going to
– When you say you have Stockholm Syndrome, does that mean you're in love with Morgan Burke? Is that what that means? I'm not a psychiatrist.
Yes, that's what it means. Okay. Is that strange?
I get it. I mean, those elbows are amazing. His elbows are... That's low. I shouldn't have said that.
Oh, sorry, Morgie. You're still welcome to come on the Handsome Hour anytime. We'd love to have you.
I think it's... I don't know. That four, I've always been dreading. I think I said it on the last one, too. That four is that number, right, where you don't know... Where you really find out what the athletic director is.
They're not
going
to. They're not going to. I don't think they're going to win four now. I don't. That would be a. I know you look at a schedule with 10 games left, with so many mediocre teams on it.
Yeah, all mediocre.
You find yourself
teams.
Saying, "Yeah, I mean, could they find three wins in that crap? Yeah, of course they could. But when they get smoked by Nevada next week, you're going to again
That's
have the feeling
be.
You had. It's going to happen. They're That's not going to beat Nevada. Be.
Yeah.
They just I hate to give away my pick a week and a half early, but
yeah.
Chris Ault is on my list. Pretty low on my list, but Nevada's coach Chris Ault is on my list.
I think he'd be a good pick.
I think he'd be another.
You'd say that about almost anyone right now. You'd say that about anybody who's not a cheater.
He'd be a good pick.
Anyone who wouldn't cheat.
I mean,
I know your morals are kind of, you're like, well, what kind of cheating are we talking about?
Exactly.
Are we talking about just making out a little, or are we talking about full on?
Listen, man, listen.
Different levels of cheating. That's what I tell her anyway.
I think, can we officially announce that Briles is not on any of our lists?
He's.
I put that on Twitter because somebody wrote to us and said everyone should be a candidate, even Art Briles. And I wrote, I'm sure I would consider coming to Purdue. And when I wrote that, there were more people than you would think who were like almost angry at me. I would never watch Purdue again. I wasn't serious.
I've asked this to a couple people behind the thing, but like, what about Kendall Briles, his son, who is his offensive coordinator?
I think he's not toxic, so.
Is that real? I mean, like, is that would you be okay? Kendall Briles was his longtime offensive coordinator at Baylor.
A year ago, I would have. I still think there's an attachment there that bothers me.
So. There's an attachment, yeah. So that's obviously, the thing, obviously. Yeah.
Because Art would be around.
Art would probably. I mean, he would be tangentially connected to the program. Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably have him at spring practices and stuff. So. Yeah. If you don't like that, you clear yourself of that, right? You don't, you know, unless you're Penn State, where you have a big sex scandal, and then you hire a guy who allegedly covered up rape on campus, you know. Man. Then you can do that kind of thing.
Man. But the fact that they still are honoring him, it's just...
Oh, yeah, that's the best.
To me, it's just like, let it go. Just
right.
They don't want to let it go.
Let it go.
I think those old alums that we talked about don't want to let it go.
Yeah.
Just let it... Just.
They're not that old. The people that I've seen defend him are not that old.
Oh, no, I know people younger than us that defend him. Yeah,
that's
good, too. Anyway, Doug Marrone is an interesting one.
See, and that one is uninspiring to me because Doug Marrone feels to me like he's like the definition to me of like the old boys club kind of coaching hire where it's like he's been around. It's like Cam Cameron. How does this jackhole keep getting jobs? He's terrible, and yet he's always got a good job.
Yeah.
He's not good at anything.
Right.
I mean, Joe Coletto, who Ryan, I think, knows as one of my favorite trivia.
Jim Coletto? Did you just disrespect Jim Coletto by calling him Joe?
Did I call him Joe? Sorry.
How dare you?
That's horrible. That is awful.
You may forget this trivia, but do you know what his last job was?
He was in the pros with the Lions?
Yeah. Yes, he was the OC of the, or a line coach, of the 0-16 Lions.
That's it. That's right. That's right.
That was the death knell. That's what it took for Coletto to not be hireable anymore.
Wait, hold on a second. I got a question for you, Niche. This is one I didn't notice until just now. Why would Pep Hamilton be on a please no list? I like Pep Hamilton.
No, I'm out. Nope.
Why?
Because he's not very good at his job.
He got absolutely scapegoated.
Why is Mike Smith a please no?
No, I'm out on Mike Smith. I think he was a bad pro coach.
He won a lot of games.
So my four please no coaches are three yes. NFL candidates: Jim Caldwell, who is a wax statue.
Mike Caldwell. I don't.
Mike Smith.
Get many disagreements there.
Won a lot of games and has some great hair, but
With a perpetually perplexed face.
Yeah, he's always
just like, what? What
are those lights on?
What's going on?
How did they change the bulbs?
He's not going to have the lights problem at Purdue.
that was a good setup there.
Pep Hamilton, I don't think he is a... I don't want him as the lead recruiter. I think he's just so blah. Yeah, and Tim DeRuiter, who has already whispered, like, he was a candidate in 2012, Fresno State head coach.
That's one of my guys that I like them.
Yeah, and I mean, like, in 2012, he was a fine candidate, and now there are more whispers, and it's just like, no, please stay away. I mean, like, other ones, because I've been so inspired by Illinois that hired, you hadn't heard, Lovie Smith.
Get all these current or former NFL head coaches, Rex Ryan.
It's on the list of people that aren't going to come, that will probably need head coaching jobs next summer.
Pat Fitzgerald is not going to need a head coaching job next summer.
I don't know.
No chance.
I mean, only if
no
crazy.
Way. He's no way.
It's only question. It's only because he's an alum, right?
I mean,
he's had more success at Northwestern than any coach.
And he's on the hot. He's slowly on the hot seat.
No
I'm
way.
Telling you.
No. No. Way. I'll bet you anything. He's not going anywhere.
Nope.
Gary Anderson is one. They just lost a heartbreaker. Oregon State. But
Oregon State, like,
he's
I don't
got
know,
how much is he getting paid? I bet that's $3.5 million, right?
Yeah. No. Again, all of these people
are. Oregon State?
Yeah, we're looking at the list of people that are not coming. But, you know, it's just like an encyclopedia of coaches that might need jobs.
Okay, by the way, Pat Fitzgerald went 10-3 last year, 6-2 in the Big Ten.
People are complaining. I'm just telling you what I tell you.
Oh, yeah.
He's going nowhere. There's a better chance of me having a growth spurt. Hair on my head or getting above 5'6".
And he's another one that we've pointed out. Like, they went 10-3 in 2012. They went
I think he's a great
–
I like
year.
Him.
And they
like
went 5-7 to 2 years in between that. Any of us would take that. A couple 5-7 crappers surrounded by some 10-win seasons. Hell yes.
You're describing
Gary Anderson,
Joe Tiller.
Gary Anderson makes $3 million a year.
Except that Tiller never won 10, but besides that.
Yeah, but.
But Tiller, no, I disagree. Tiller never had sustained stinkers until the very end. He never was like 10 wins, 5-7, 5-7, 10 wins. He had like one crappy season out of like the first nine.
Yeah, he had a couple 9-win seasons anyway.
Yeah, like three. So yeah. All I'm saying is Fitzgerald, Northwestern as a football program is not unlike Purdue historically. Probably
I mean,
worse.
So
they're pretty amazing, and if you look through their scope, much worse historically than Purdue. That's the weird thing. I mean, much worse.
And he's 70-58.
He's above 500, right?
Or 11
years. He's above 500.
I like him. You're not talking me out of liking him. I like him, but another
I like him a lot because he looks like Drew Brees, kind of. Like a bigger, more cuddly Drew Brees, if that's possible.
Go Cats.
Okay. I think
Go Cats.
Butch Jones might need a job this summer.
I don't want Butch Jones.
Neither do I.
There's a guy that I think is toxic. That thing about sending a hit out on a player, that's...
He almost should have been fired. Some of the crap went down.
Should have been fired.
I don't know
should
about almost. I mean, Tennessee's got the money too. I think he should have been, but
they're
I mean,
paying they paid a lot of buyouts in the last 10 years, Nish. Ooh.
They got a lot of money though coming.
They got that Peyton Manning money.
That place sells out pretty much every week still. I think.
Yeah, and it does.
What's
it?
500,000 seat stadium? Is that right?
Yeah, close to a million. No, they were top 10 to start this season. They're another one of those programs that's like, if there's even an inkling they might be good, it's like Notre Dame. Everyone's like, oh, Tennessee's back.
I know.
No, they're not.
It's crazy.
They're the same mediocre team they've been since you guys ran Fulmer out of town. Isn't that one of those fun?
Oh, that's a football karma. That's a football karma.
Oh, that's awesome. They run that guy out of town who did nothing but win, including a national title, and they've never been the same. It's freaking awesome. Yep. I don't know. He's still only 66. Maybe Purdue should hire him.
He doesn't look like a healthy man, per se.
Speaking of, Charlie Weiss is probably going to be looking for a job.
By the way,
ooh.
You want me to blow, blow
coaching
your mind?
Advantage.
Phil Fulmer was 100 games over 500.
Oh, my gosh.
He was 152 and 52. Oh, it's amazing. It's amazing.
If we ever get to that point, like somebody should just smack us in the face with an anvil that we're not happy with those kind of seasons.
It's partly, I think even the people who act like that, I think they even realize how good they have it, but they've built up this thing in their head. And it's like Yankee fans, right? Have to win the World Series or it's a failure. Shut the F up. You sound like a moron when you say that kind of stuff. And this is coming from a Yankee fan.
Yeah.
Like, it's moronic to act that way. And they do that because it feels cool to be like, no, the only thing we accept is perfection. Oh, screw you.
Yeah.
Screw you, SEC. Georgia. I hope Georgia never wins another game. Not because
I was thinking today when Michael was complaining about Tiller. I was like, what is wrong with you? You guys know that I was not a guy who was in love with Joe Tiller.
I think he was being a little hard on him for the point, though. I think the point was like we shouldn't treat him like this, you know.
Nobody. He's around people that none of us were in love with him. You know, all of us were ready for him to go, and all of us understand the warts, you know. Man,
he's that dude. I mean, like, he's that guy for us, you know. And the biggest thing is that Purdue, like, that's what we're looking for right now, right? Which is why maybe Stitt will work out of Montana. That he came in, when Joe Tiller came in, this program was so beyond. I mean, like, you guys know this a lot better. The program was so low. Was so unbelievably low, and immediately he took him to 8 wins. Like that year,
Which is why it's when you talk about how it wouldn't matter what coach came in. That's what I always think of. He came into the crappy mess that Coletto had left, and they were immediately good, sustained immediately good. And I know it's a different college football landscape today. You posted that clip. Must have been when you were going through posts on the site because you put up a clip that I had clipped in the past where he talked about how great it used to be. We all just went back to my house and drank beer and told stories, and that was it. We didn't recruit. We didn't do nothing.
That's a great quote.
I love Joe Tiller so much. So let's end it on this without going into specifics. Which profile guy do you want to go next? The old guy who's rebuild, or the young guy with a new system?
I think I'm right in between. I want a guy in the middle who's had success, who's built a program.
With a mustache.
Yeah, of course. It'd be really nice to have a younger guy who's got experience, but that's not going to happen.
How about a guy that's like 30 who's built a program and taken a team?
Yeah,
how
exactly.
About that? Let's do that.
I want Drew Brees to be their head coach. I want the guy from a little bit lesser known school, but that has had some sustained success, to the whole point we've made earlier that Hazel didn't really have that, right? So, like Brohm.
Sustained success is your main. That's it. That's your one edict.
More than a year. Yeah. How about that? Two, three years of like clearly making a program better.
Question. So what? That's a very good question. Is 3 years a mark that shows you've gotten rid of the previous coach's talent and you're doing it on your own
these
now?
These days, everything's. I mean, there's so much jumping around. You have to take some.
That's why Brock Speck's a great choice.
he's never any success at the actual level Purdue plays at. But you know.
I mean, as a coordinator, come on, bro.
Okay, you want to bring him back as a coordinator? I'm all ears. Absolutely. No, that sounds great. Bring him back as DC.
Go big or go home.
Which profile do you want, Dan?
I really don't want a young guy, and I really don't want an old guy. I'd like a guy with like maybe some salt and pepper hair.
Bo Pelini.
He's an old man. He's kind of old.
I want the old guy.
He seems like he's older than my grandfathers, who are both dead.
Yeah, but he's just because he's ornery.
Because he's so angry, exactly.
He's just ornery. I want the old guy.
He's 48. He's 48.
That's impossible. 48. That is impossible.
He's not 48.
He's 48. He was born December 13th of 67. He'll be 49 in December.
No way.
Isn't that incredible?
A joke, right?
No.
Holy frick, he's 48.
I don't think any young guy.
I'm 41.
He's an old 48. I mean, he's going to be dead.
No, he's an old 68. Like, I don't think there's any way that a young guy wants this job, and I think an old guy looking to rehab his reputation,
Pelini
who's
would be called
good.
youngish, by the way, by Michael Henry.
I want oh man, you talked me into Greg Schiano.
I didn't do anything. Good
You
job.
talked me into Greg Schiano, you
That
know.
was a joint effort because I brought that up to him earlier
You know,
today. It was on his please no list today.
yeah, yeah,
And I
yeah,
said, what
yeah.
is this on your
Yeah.
please no list? And then he
Yeah.
started thinking about it and
There's no way a young guy wins here. I don't
What are you
think so.
talking
You
about?
want, see, you've talked yourself. It's almost like me talking myself into spec.
No, Cliff
You're
Kingsbury.
talking yourself into an old guy because you're like, this guy's not going to do well, so this is a you know, this is just
No, no, no,
we're
no, no. We
waiting for
all
the real
agreed
push.
that what works at Purdue is something
Different,
different,
yeah.
innovative, because they can't line up the same athletes
That's
as
kind of
the other
why I
teams.
like Doc Holliday. Doc
That's
Holliday is a
what.
little bit of both, right? You know,
Yeah, I guess.
he's old.
He's
He's been
another guy
around
that
there.
he seems older than he is, isn't he? I mean,
No, I think he's as old as he seems. I think he's like 62.
59.
Okay, 15. Yeah, see, he's not even 60 yet. He's not
Yeah,
even 60 yet.
he's got
He's
plenty of rubber on the tires.
yeah, exactly.
He's not.
Ish.
I mean, to me, just get somebody for 4 years, and that's looking to either move on or that's looking to retire, and get just because then they have a window.
So Dino Babers didn't make your list at all, huh?
Dino Babers is not coming. He's not leaving Syracuse. I thought about that. I probably should have put him on the other list, but Dino Babers last year would have been a good candidate, and I think he would have been a really good candidate. He's got that offensive system. He's
Yeah.
young. He's Midwest. I think he would have been a really good candidate last year, but I
I'm
don't think.
sorry. Are you guys talking about Dino Hazel? Is that who you're
Yes,
talking
Dino
about?
Hazel.
Yes.
I think he would have been a great candidate last year, but he's not leaving Syracuse like 1 year into the job for Purdue.
Let me ask you guys a question as we continue to hash
Wrap
out
up.
our exit here,
Yeah.
because that'll be very quick. It always is, and very smooth. The oh shoot, my brain no working. That's awesome. I took myself out of it. Oh shoot, what's wrong
No,
with me? I gotta stop sniffing glue.
I don't know. It's we're starting to think about this because last week felt like just I don't know. It was so. I guess it was that, right? It was just. It felt like the same thing. It felt like this. It
So, okay,
just.
I got my question. It
That's
came
it.
back. Here it is. Yes,
It
sir.
fluttered.
Are you sure?
It's
Did
really
you
not even
write
a
it?
good question.
Did you write it down?
No, so let me get it out right now because it's
Okay.
going to go away again. It's really not that good of a question. That's the really lousy thing.
Jesus.
The question is, what's the big difference? We just talked about coaches. We really didn't get. We said we're going to be pretty vague, but we were pretty specific. Let's be real honest. For an hour. So how do you title this post without getting banned by by Purdue football on Twitter? Well, how do we do that? How are we going to avoid
Because
that?
I think we all agreed earlier that this is different. This isn't. This is a guy who's had. You said it. He's
So
had.
why aren't we just opening up both barrels and posting now? Why? Because we all agreed it's too early to do that. But why is it too early to do that? But not too early to do what we just did.
Because in
Well,
print feels
yeah.
more brutal. Let wait until the
Yeah, I
Nevada
guess that.
Nobody
loss.
listens to the podcast, so.
Exactly. Listen, after okay, so here's the deal, listener. One singular, single digit. You guys
Mom,
are single
mom.
digits. My, there's no way. I had a weekly radio show in high school, and my mom didn't listen to that. There is no way she listens to this. I think after the Nebraska loss, if we have the Nebraska loss or Nebraska a Nevada loss,
They'll lose to Nebraska too, my friend.
yeah.
Yeah.
But after
Always.
Nevada, that's it. Game set match. You know what sucks? Having a bye week and like after
Oh,
such a
it's so
demoralizing
stupid.
loss,
2 weeks in. Thank gosh, we gotta.
it's good to get Markell Jones a little healthier. Poor Markell Jones. He would
Markell
be.
Jones is gonna transfer, man.
He should.
He
He
should.
should.
And that's making me very sad
He
because
should go
he.
to South. He should go to South Carolina or somewhere that will start him behind a real. Our offensive line, our interior offensive line, and Markell Jones have been the only saving graces for this team. The interior offensive line, and Terry Malone. I think Terry Malone has come up with good offensive game plans. I think the interior of the line has been very good. I think Markell Jones is a star. is a national
Yeah, I do
star.
too.
I think he would be at the level of CJ Prozise last year at Notre Dame. I think he's that level of running back.
Did you notice how much crap he was talking?
Oh, he's the best. He's the best.
Gosh, and, I was like,
and
you
he's
gotta be,
such
yeah,
a waste.
You gotta be great to talk trash like that on a
where
bad
was,
team.
Where was he talking trash on the field?
For Cincinnati, yeah.
Like
it was
a
like
couple, after busting a couple of them in the first half.
Yeah, I wonder if they. I think I got the sense that they're pretty big talkers, Cincinnati. So they were probably jawing
it's
at
a, it's, a,
yeah.
it's a what's his face team? It's a Taggart or
Tuberville.
Tuberville team.
Very, yeah. very bunch yeah. of the strutting around on the sidelines was.
So I mean, I have no problem. You're handing your opponent their ass. You can strut
oh,
around
sure.
all you want to.
Agreed.
You know what I mean? But
agreed.
You
but
know,
I get the sense that they were chirping from the very beginning, and that's probably why he was.
Yeah.
It's just like that's the thing is like even the players that are fun to watch, it seems like it's such a waste at Purdue at this point, which is the worst. So like, yeah, here's the deal. After the
you
Nebraska,
know, you talked
loss,
about that internal line or the interior line. You're one injury about away from
yeah.
that not
oh,
being
totally.
A good line.
Oh yeah,
I mean
yeah,
not being a good line at all. Yep. You know that's.
Yeah, and the defense is a joke. The defensive coordinator, like, I mean, I don't know what's going on.
Coached high school last year.
Oh, Jesus. I think he was a coordinator. He was a coordinator in high school last year. He wasn't a head coach.
Yeah. Oh, come on now. Purdue's not going to pluck head coaches.
it's baffling to me. The Purdue's defense is so unbelievably bad. They're so much worse than the talent. And the talent is like, it's not like,
you know,
awful, but
it's beginning
not great.
To look like the IU game could be like 60 to 50.
I've been saying this to my friends because this was like the defining game for my 4 years at Purdue. It's going to be a revenge of that 62 to 10 finale that Joe Tiller had.
Game. Yeah. Well, except that I don't think that this Purdue team's offense is that bad. They're not
no.
as bad as that IU team was terrible.
No, terrible. But they may put up 100 spot on us. This offense.
Oh gosh, the tackling. I mean, it's like basics. You just
Purdue
look
has
at,
a Purdue hasn't had like wrapping up like linebackers wrapping up the
that
running back in how long? 10 years? 15
oh, yeah,
years?
Yeah, that's what we've always been fascinated Arm by the tackles? Fact that that's been a problem. Over the course of three coaches, it's very weird the bad tackling. They tackle that.
Well, that's the funny thing though. I can remember early in the Tiller era, I was like, it was notable how much better they tackled compared to Coletto because Coletto
yes.
players they would come in just to blow it up. Remember,
yes.
their whole thing was like, oh, we're leaving our feet and we're gonna just
yes.
make
and they would just, guys would just duck them and they,
you know, they'd fly out about 100 feet, not hitting the ground. It was awesome, but.
Well,
it's. I
you
mean,
know, going back to your question
yeah.
about getting fired during the season, I guess this wouldn't really count because it'd be the end of the season. But if they give up like 70 to IU, that could be fireable before you get back to the locker room. Like they might not be. There's not going to be any waiting
happen.
Until January.
Yeah, I mean,
it
that's
will.
The thing. And so here's the deal: after the Nebraska loss, if we go in 1-2, and the only go into Big Ten season 1-2, the only
you
win
said
is
Nebraska
over.
Again.
Nevada, Jesus.
I was like, what are we talking about in Nebraska? Being all of the season? Man.
No, if we do that, we'll unleash both barrels. That's it.
Yeah,
game over. I'm ready to do this after that because this is, and if we look so bad, Purdue looks so bad, it's just fine.
How about this question? Do you think the players believe what they're selling right now? The players.
I think they did at the beginning of the year. Yeah, I do.
You think they have the bloom's off the rose already? Do you think he talked and said, this is the game where we make our statement? You think there was that type of talk going on in the locker room? Because there are some
mistake.
Pretty dejected guys in that.
He made that mistake last year, so I wouldn't think so. But
you wouldn't think so? See, I think he is maybe one of the worst miscalculators as a head coach
just
with statements ever. Yeah.
He did it against Marshall, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Was it the Marshall game where he basically put all their eggs were – they even used
all
that
All their
quote.
Eggs were in the basket.
All
Double down on a six.
That's
do it again.
Danny Hope would say stuff like "my butts in my pants." Remember, he'd be like, "They gotta get their butts in their pants."
That's one that I forgot.
I love,
right? And it would make you laugh because it didn't make any sense.
No,
Hazel says stuff that unfortunately you can make out what he's saying.
Just
you're like,
he's
"Very
so,
clear." One basket. Oh crap.
Because he's not... smart. That's the problem. Yeah, is that smart. I think on the podcast you guys recorded, you like to sit down and talk astrophysics with him.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, the history of the universe with him.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man.
But, like, he's just not good at this job.
No. Same thing as Danny Hope, just on the other end of the spectrum. I would love to have a beer with him. Right, but you want to do different things, but you'd love to hang out with him, but he's just not a very good football coach.
Oh, my God, taking shots with Danny Hope?
Oh, you'd lose. And you're an Iron Man, and you'd lose.
I would lose so bad.
See, I think he would take a shot, and then he would eat the...
And push-ups.
He'd eat the glass.
Yeah. Coach, you're bleeding a little bit. Am I bleeding? I can't even.
Yeah, that's the biggest loss was the impressions of Hope and hopeful Danny. That's the thing.
We all lost that day.
Can you imagine bringing on the only good fake Twitter account that's left, Faux Pelini?
Oh,
Pelini's awesome still.
Could you imagine if we listen? This as
no,
a
it wasn't
as a
just for Faux Pelini.
As a guy that writes about Purdue every single week, I am rooting so hard for Bo Pelini in black and gold.
Bo Pelini is
he's so pissed.
Did you see him? On September 4th, he said once and for all, 9-4 is not Bo Pelini day. He went 9-4 every year.
The funny thing about that, think about how nice that 9-4 sounds. Like that's like birds are chirping and the sky's blue and we're on cloud 9.
9-4. We're ready to build a statue.
He did
for
it
a
every
guy
year. Yes. He never did worse than that ever at Nebraska. And
I'm telling you, Bo Pelini. Bo Pelini.
I'm telling you.
So you know what? You know what I'm hearing right now is I'm hearing Nebraska fans would be happy with Les Miles. And LSU fans would be happy with Bo Pelini somehow, and some weird, you know.
Well, at this point,
it's the same guy, by the way. That's the same guy.
I'm trying everything just for some giant conspiracy to make Kevin Sumlin come to West Lafayette, but that's not happening. But anyway, we will promise something after the Nevada game if we lose.
What do you mean? We're gonna make bets? Is that what you're saying? Or what?
We'll just come back. We'll just print this list verbatim.
You have been listening to the world-famous Bold Sports Handsome Hour.
BS all the time.